Here we go. Staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2. 626 on the dial. It's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon. 592 on the dial. It's Jake Hodge.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to the Dialed In Podcast, episode number 13, in Italian for 13, the language of the week this week. Figured, why not? Jake, what's going on, buddy?
We made it to episode lucky number 13, and Zach, you didn't have much luck last weekend.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. It's hanging out with Jake. I keep breaking stuff. I don't know how. I think it's contagious. No, hey, you know, went down to Huntsville and tried to race, and weather really wasn't agreeing with us at all. You know, we got down there Friday to run their shootout and ended up, they tried to run a few cars down the track and decided that it wasn't safe enough. So, you know, luckily my ride went, I went A to B just fine. And, but I thought safety in mind, that probably wasn't a bad decision. The sun never came out. Friday was definitely forecasted to be the coldest day of the weekend. And then, you know, Saturday they got a late start, you know, rain in the morning kept them, and the sun once again, you know, was supposed to come out Saturday earlier than that, but it just hung around and stayed cold. And you know, by the time we got on the racetrack, it was already, what was it, about noon, I think.
So that was like one thirty, I think. Mm-hmm. By the time they got it all dry and then sent us down.
Yeah, so by the time we got a time trials in and first, second, what I ended up stopping, they stopped the races right in front of me on my second entry, third round, and decided that it was time to pull the plug and to finish that race on Sunday, you know, but didn't have anybody crash or anything. So that's good, you know, safety in mind. Not sure exactly, you know, we won the, came back and won the round we had already won on my first entry, won it again on, because they started the round over. And then I came back up there for my second entry and was going to lose anyway. And right before the finish line, something started rattling pretty bad. Not sure exactly what it is yet. By the time I got home, it was just time to park the trailer and come inside and relax. And plus, I got the whole off season to worry about it. But kind of hoping that it's something. I'm thinking maybe input shaft, could be converter related. I'm trying to wish away that it's the engine problem. It was still, it was running when I was slowing down. I really don't think, but I, it might be, but it was still running whenever I went to make the corner, and then something was trying to stop it. So we'll figure it out, get it fixed and ready for the spring SFG race is the plan. So, you know, it's all good. You know, they weren't, Huntsville wasn't dealt a very good card with the weather, but you know, it's Thanksgiving weekend, so it's going to be cold. We all expected that. It is what it is. And still, you know, we made it home safe and all that. So tell us about your weekend.
Yeah. And to relate to the calling it whenever you were in the water box, and I was telling Jenna, I said, go up there and see if everybody's having trouble getting down. She watched about two pair and she came back and nodded her head real big. And I was about to make probably a really big mistake because I was pulled up next to our buddy Rusty. Mm-hmm. And he was dialed 677. And I told Jenna, I said, wipe the 590 anything off the window and put 650 on it. Which mm-hmm. he would have made me probably look like a really big fool. But, you know, what do you do at that point? If you can't get down, you can't just throw in the towel. Because Friday, whenever everybody couldn't get down, I also could not in the Nova. So.
Right.
And as to Friday when they called it, you know, I was, I think the second to last pair to go down before they called it, because I was coming up the return road and I heard him say this is the last pair for the day. And, you know, I wasn't complaining. I was going back to work on my stuff, make it better, make it good on the racetrack. So to each their own, and erring on the side of safety is never a bad idea. You can't really race the 15 granders if you wad them up on the 64 car shootout. So
yeah, I don't quite understand. While I was sitting on the, basically on the turnoff, I barely made it off the track. I thought maybe they could send somebody down there a little bit quicker to get me a Mac, but it's all good.
there's two other turnoffs down there at Huntsville that you sitting in one of them don't slow the process down.
Well, I was down there watching them, and it was interesting a couple times, but I helped kind of direct everybody around there as I was sitting, and yeah, we got it going, you know, finally got it back, and it's all good.
Huntsville did all they could do to get the races they did in, and I think it rained about 45 minutes after they finished the final round on Sunday, so
Right.
Yeah, we took two juniors down there and two top bulb cars like we do whenever we go with the Mickey family, and it was busy. as you probably observed.
Right.
You know, as we take the Nova up and then go down in the dragster, they're already calling juniors up, and we got to get two of them up there and have one golf cart and a scooter to push the other junior. So, yeah, third round, both of the boys, one of them was 5 red, and Easton was 0001 red. So that was a rough way to end his birthday weekend, but we had a good time nonetheless. And 3 take 9 in the dragster was no good to my guys, 11 dead 0. And the Nova, I did about a 100-foot wheel stand and almost crushed the 330 cone and ripped it about 4 times to be 20 under. Felt like a real big hero there. That's just par for the course of my year, I feel like. So, yeah, that's how Huntsville shook down, and we're going to focus on a whole bunch of off-season activities.
Yep. And I wanted to take this time and opportunity to, you know, thank all the people that have helped me in 2018 on and off the racetrack. It's been an eventful year, to say the least. It's been one that I can say I've wanted to do exactly what I was able to do this year for a long time. And because of job obligations and different things going on in my life, I haven't been able to. So it was nice to be able to go to a lot of the big races I always watched and wish that I could go to, like the Million. To get to go to the Memphis race and be a part of the Dream Team race was awesome. And be able to run a lot of 3-day weekends this year was a lot of fun. So I want to say thanks to, first and foremost, my dad for all the help he gave me, Billy Schlump, Trackmaster Balancing. Anybody out there doesn't know, if you need a rotating assembly balance, you know, get a hold of me, get a hold of my dad, Billy Schlump, and he's the best in the business. I promise it'll be smooth and it'll be done right. He's been doing it for a lot of years. And then I want to say thanks to Luke Bogacki. This is Bracket Racing. This is Bracket Racing Elite. He's always been a big part of helping me out and helping me with my program and answering any questions that I have. And I really appreciate his support. And I want to say thanks to Jeremiah Hall and his family and Jerry and the whole group at Firecracker Performance Transmissions. Anybody that needs transmission work, they are really, really good at what they do. That transmission has been beat on and beat on and beat on, and it just went really well all year. And I really can't thank all those people enough, and look forward to carrying it on in 2019.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, Zach, I thought of this a little while ago. We should do a little contest, and if I don't know the exact number yet, but I think I'm going to figure it up this week. If we have a listener that can guess how many different cars I have driven this year.
Okay.
Well, and you can't really say driven. How many cars I've held the steering wheel in this year, because I let a lot of good race cars down a whole bunch of times. But I don't know. There's a bunch of people that I'd like to thank for giving me those opportunities, but if I tried to name all of them, I'd forget some, and I don't want to leave anybody out. So thanks to everybody that's given me that opportunity in 2018. It's been a complete, I don't know, I never in a million years would have thought that this year would have went down the way it did. But, you know, I never would have thought I'd be announcing races, let alone, you know, some of the biggest paying races or the biggest paying races in bracket racing history. So that's opened up a lot of doors for me. And I can't thank those guys enough at SFG and Kyle and AJ and all those guys. And we're working on getting my car back together. So I got some brand new Icon Pistons sitting there waiting on me. And Tom Kundrick and Mickey Thompson, those guys are always looking out for me. And FTI helped me out a whole lot at the Million when I was in a pinch. So the FTI guys, they're Andre and Scott and Troy. Those guys are awesome. Jeremiah, obviously, he also helps me out at my wagon transmission. That thing it got beat on with the stock LS in it. And I'd hate to see. I think it was hot lapped like a sprint car. So yeah, and it's been a crazy ride. And I tried to buy a picture of every car that I drove at every race that they had a photographer. So I've got this stack of pictures that had $40 a pop. So Chris Simmons, he always took care of me on that kind of deal, and Brian Epps and those guys. So it'd be interesting to sit back and count how many different rides I've been in, because I almost want to say it's been more than 20.
Brian Epps, man, I think the best picture I've ever had of my car was taken by him up at Lions when they had that gunslinger race. That's one of my favorite pictures that I've ever got. He's a good dude.
Yeah, and nobody knows, like, you race, say you're going time trials, 9 o'clock in the morning, Brian Epps is out at 6:30 setting up equipment and chip Chip Brawley and Chris Simmons, they're the same way. And those dudes, they are out there in the baking in the sun all day long. And, you know, they're out there at 6:30 setting stuff up, and they got to be out there at 3:30 when the final round goes down to take their winner's circle pictures. So, you know, buy pictures. I know you got the same, if you're a dragster guy, you've got the same dragster picture going down the racetrack that you know, have 10 times over on the wall at home. But, you know, that's how those guys make a living. And without them, there'd be a lot of publicity missed in our sport.
Yep. Very true. Very true. I think they're unsung heroes. Obviously, definitely. So with that, I'll tell you a little bit about Law Chevrolet. Law Chevrolet Buick, Boonville, Indiana, family-owned sales and service center, proudly serving the tri-state area for over 10 years. Racing has always been in the blood of Law Chevrolet, and over the past few years, we have been blessed with the opportunity to serve hundreds of racers from all across the country. All of us here at Law Chevrolet Buick would like to thank each and every racer for the opportunity to do business with them. Remember, if you buy a vehicle anywhere else, it's not the tires you will be kicking.
Absolutely. And our good buddy Steve Law is up in South Dakota duck hunting. So it looked like he had a lot of success out there. We thought we'd see him at Huntsville, but he was serious whenever he called it a year at the Reynolds race. So Bowling Green, Zach, how many races did they get completed? Because I only saw one winner and runner-up picture. I don't know. You know, I'm completely on me because I'm not aware of, well, I didn't keep up all weekend.
Yep, they only had one. Obviously, like we mentioned, Mother Nature gave a lot of racetracks challenges this weekend. And Beach Bend on Friday looked like they got, I think it was round four. I can't remember if it was round four or five. They had 45 cars left when the rain hit on Friday. And so they had to go ahead and call it. Saturday, they split at 12 cars. I saw the picture. They were still racing. The fog was setting in so heavy that you couldn't read the scoreboards from the starting line. So they had to call it at 12. It was getting cold and very, very damp. So very a smart decision there. And then Sunday, they did get a winner and runner-up with the sun still out. The winner was Jody Davies in his S10.
Uncle JoJo.
Yeah, and runner-up, I know it was crazy talk that this person would do good at Beach Bend in a big race, as Jason McKeag in the Nova, getting down there in the final round. So no surprise there. McKeag's always tough at Bowling Green, and, well, tough. I mean, not just at Bowling Green, tough everywhere, all
Saint
the time.
Louis. Absolutely. So, yep.
Yeah.
So where we were at, down in Huntsville. Let's see. They canceled the Friday 64 car shootout. No big deal. Happens. Saturday, we stopped third round. We started over third round on Sunday. And the lone winner of $15,000, Billy Paul McGee, $15,000 race winner over Roger Dame, right? Driving the Dart.
Yep, beautiful, that's right.
Beautiful Mopar. Rolled in with Mike Crick. Mike obviously has a beautiful Mopar in his own, but yeah, dialed in at 5:40 in the final round, and the Mopar was going 50s, I believe. So the track was obviously right whenever the weather allowed it to be. So congratulations to Billy Paul McGee and a beautiful 57, right, Bel Air?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, chop top, gorgeous car. And
incredible race car, yeah.
And then, and that takes us to our results of the Loose Rocker ATI Fall Foot Brake Frenzy at Piedmont Dragway. Two weekends in a row there for the Loose Rocker gang. Friday saw our honored guest, Rodney Fincham. We're so happy to have on the podcast and so happy to see Hot Rod get the win, and took the win over the bad man Kevin Pollard in his love truck, who went red in the final. And then if y'all haven't seen the Fats and Fincham final round from from that race, you need to watch it. It's amazing. And then Saturday they got rained out. So they on Sunday saw good old Nasty Nick Hastings in the T1000 took the win over Jason McCandless. In a wagon.
A lorry wagon.
With the luggage rack still on the top. I love it. So, yeah, it looked like a great event there. And Loose Rocker guys put on another good race.
Yeah, did you see the videos of that wagon going down the racetrack?
I saw it was hiking the front end pretty good. It looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it didn't stop bouncing until about 400 foot. I mean, that thing was... And I heard Hot Rod say this before, that thing was hucklebucking all the way down the racetrack. So
well, that's very impressive to get a car that was doing that into the final.
Yeah, and I don't, I'd make me car sick.
Man, I know on my car, before I had wheelie bars on it, and it would bounce, And it would, if it would bounce once, we were fine. If it would bounce twice, I'd lose like two numbers. So, yep. So anybody that can get to the final doing that is obviously and is doing good and is an excellent finish line racer. So it's probably bouncing the same every time. So it is what it is. And great job by all there. And with that, we're going to take you to our interview with Hot Rod Fincham himself.
So episode lucky number 13 has none other than Mr. Fast and Fincham himself, Rodney Fincham, man, $20,000 richer after the ATI foot brake frenzy at Piedmont Dragway. How's it going, man?
Well, man, I'll tell you what. I rolled in this morning at about 3 or 4 in the morning and got off, got me about an hour's sleep, got that little man off to school, fell back in the bed there, passed out for a few hours, and shoot, man, here I am. I still keep trying to figure out how what happened, but them checks is in there, man, and I know it happened, so it's just been crazy. The phones went nuts, Fast and Fincham, the page, we just can't say enough about the support they're giving us right there. Like, they just have grabbed us up here, and we just can't be more thankful, man. It's just been nuts.
Awesome accomplishment, obviously, Rodney. You know, you've been doing this a long time, and it was great to see you get that big 20K triumph there. And, you know, we certainly enjoy watching Fast and Fincham. I know every time I see it on Facebook, I just want to watch another one. And, man, it's hard to keep up with you, everything that's going on. And, you know, one of the first things I want to ask is what gave you the idea to start Fast and Fincham? Where did that come from?
Well, I tell you what, man, it goes so far back. 15 year ago, you know, when I came out with a cell phone that wasn't so big you couldn't fit it in a car, I'm pulling on the racetrack one evening at Knoxville Dragway, and I always left my phone in the truck, but for some reason it was still on me. It goes to vibrating. I look at it, and it's my mama. Well, how do you not answer mama's phone call? You know what I mean? I mean, who cares that I'm going out here and trying to win the round? I got to answer mama's phone call. And so, long story short, I answered the phone call. I wouldn't let her hang up. I shoved that phone up in my helmet, and I tell her everything I do down the racetrack. I win the round, and she just went nuts. She just could not believe that I had pulled that off and told her everything that had went on. And so, some 10 years later, I ran into a fella by the name of Jeff Lambert, and this guy was spectating, watching a race, had never driven a race car in his life, as far as I knew, and got to talking to him, made friends with him, and some years later, Tucker McCandless had a phone and asked me if I had ever done a video. I said, nope. He said, man, you'll do a video. So we throw that camera in there, and that's the famous one on YouTube. I was 19 or better and dead on, not a doubt in my mind, and people sort of went nuts over it. You know, we were shocked at the response that we got. So then that gets back into Jeff Lambert there. Earlier this year, we'd ran into him, and he had this idea about starting up Fast and Fincham. And like I say, I'm not smart enough to make a good phone call. So he gets this page set up for me, and armedforcesracing.org, Jeff Lambert. Without him, there would be no Fast and Fincham, I don't guess. I'm just not smart enough to get it out there. And with Armed Forces Racing and Jeff Lambert's help, here we are.
Yeah, 3,484 people follow Fast and Fincham, man. That is incredible.
And the thing we've done that in like 9 months, like it's just crazy. Like I say, we just can't say enough for the support that people have given us. And the thing about it is I've found a way to give back. You know, I'm 47 year old. I watched my dad race all my life. I've been a racing for 28 years, and I have finally found a way to give back to the sport that I love. You know, I've dedicated my life to, and I can do it and help organizations like Armed Forces Racing. It's just crazy. It humbles me, and I can't wait to see hang on just a second. My office is in the car at the present moment, and so...
That's all good.
The radio going off and everything. So,
if you want to jam to Taylor Swift, Hot Rod, you jam to Taylor Swift.
Hey, I'm subject to stage to it. Start dancing in the half track. You just never know. But yes, we just can't say enough for what possibly we could do for that group. They've already got their first project out, DD214. They've been to two or three races with it. I think the first race out, they maybe had got runner up. And they're doing just such great things. They've got the second one on the in the shop, working on it as we speak. It's just crazy what's happening, and we can't wait to help maybe make that grow and just bring the show through my eyes. Like we get to show people that it's just not always perfect inside that race car, but when it is. Oh my gosh! Just no different than the video against Pollard Friday night. When I seen that he had went red, the emotions just came out immediately. You know, I was just those wind lights right there, the big ones, had just eluded me all my life. You know, the bridesmaid, 3-time bracket world final runner up. To Steve Foley and Richard Newman and a few of them. I mean, they had just always eluded me. And now, here's Kevin Pollard. You know, this man's won more races than smallpox has killed folks back in the day, on the big stage. And he's just a bad man. And here I am, how are you going to survive him? You know what I mean? And it just happened. The racing gods was on my side. I won about 4 coin tosses on the day. And usually I don't win one of those. So it was just my day, and it was just incredible.
Yeah, buddy, you've had a heck of a month, let alone, the last weekend. You've had the Hot Rod Hotel rolling down the road, and you put some miles on the old truck, and it's paying off.
Yeah, my dad, I get tickled at my dad. I bought this truck a year before my oldest, Jake, was born. And I raised him in the back seat of that truck, running around these old racetracks and, just what have it. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Now, obviously, he's racing in his second season, awfully proud of him. He actually got runner-up yesterday over here at the local racetrack at Rogersville. So, just super proud of that. And this, I don't know how many thousands of miles this truck's got on it. And my dad, he tells me that he wouldn't drive it to town. You know what I mean? I'm like, Dad, I'm not driving it to town. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to Florida, So, and then this weekend, after we'd won the race, me and my crew chief, our old Joey Cogdell, son, and the little man, we slept in that truck, and Saturday, we're mingling around and people's like, surely you didn't just win last night and sleep in that truck. I like, shoot, yeah, man, that's Motel 6. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of where my
came to do, we're just not going to change it up. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's just a part of what I do and who I am.
That's kind of where my next question was going was, I was at the Million and I went down there and I said, man, for a extended cab Ford truck or crew cab Ford truck, he's got every accessory in each window that he could possibly have. And that, man, that's the closest thing you can have to a Ford Winnebago, man.
Hey, man, we're 7 star just in a small stature. You know what I mean? I mean, we've got, this weekend, it was down in the 30s, and so many great, great friends, they're just offering us enclosed trailers and motorhomes and houses and just a little bit of everything, and what they don't realize is we appreciate it. It humbles us that anybody would want to help take care of us. But, man, we're actually pretty comfortable in that thing. I've won more races and come up with more ideas of laying in the back seat of that truck than Einstein did back in the day. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and if that thing doesn't have a Hot Rod Hotel sticker by the end of next year, we're gonna have problems because that's got to be the name for it.
I'll tell you what, we'll get one on there somewhere. It needs some kind of name, and that sounds real good.
Yep. Jeff Sarah in Motion Solutions, we're gonna get you on this. We need a Hot Rod Hotel sticker on there for sure. I wanted to ask you, Ronnie, a little bit about the car. Obviously Angel Dust, great name of a car. Can you give us a little background on the race car itself? How long has it been a race car? Where did Angel Dust come from?
That's I love that you asked that. My dad, I was born in 71, and my dad had bought this car in 69, and he had to go off into the Army, which even just goes back to the Armed Forces racing and our vets and stuff. My dad's a vet. And he had to go off to the Army there a couple of years. And then when he came back home, obviously, that's when I was thought of. And he done had this car. And by 73, he done had it on the racetrack, you know, pretty much all of its life. It was a race car. I mean, I don't think he drove it around hardly any. Just when he started driving it, he was racing it. And so I grew up as a young man, you know, watching my dad, you know, they didn't travel as much back then, you know, but locally, Crossville Dragway, 411 Dragway, English Mountain Dragway, you know, we raced every weekend. You know, I grew up just like my boys at a racetrack every weekend, you know, and I thought my dad was supposed to win every time we went. You know, he was in the day, he was just as good as there were around here. And I just thought he was supposed to win all the time. So obviously watched him all my life. In 1988, he decided to give me my chance, and he put me in the car. And I want to tell you right now, you know, they wasn't no junior dragsters back in that day. And my first year was a catastrophe. there was no buybacks. You know, they didn't have any of that stuff. And so we went to the racetrack week in and week out for me to make two time trials and one round and go home. They just beat my brains in. But my dad never gave up on me, and I just never would take failure as an answer. So the next year, I got it rolling, and 28 years later, here we are. I've been racing this car off and on for 28 years. I've raced a little bit of everything from wagons, pulling wagons, trucks, you just name it. But off and on for 28 years, I've always went home to this thing. And to finally win the biggest race of my career in the same race car that my dad started in the early 70s is just crazy. And the name Angel Dust, it's funny that you ask about that because, you know, some people, you know, think of the Angel Dust as, you know, what it is. And back in the 70s, my dad was looking for a name. And something came across the news about Angel Dust. And apparently they were tranquilizing elephants or something with it. I don't know what they were doing. But it awesome. Stuck in his mind. You know, here mm-hmm. he is, you know, looking for a name, you know, and that pops up on the screen and it just hit him like a ton of brick. That's it. And so I told him here about 2 months ago, I'm working on wanting to get a wrap for the race car, you know, with the Fast and Fincham and Armed Forces Racing and everything, FTI, and people just keep coming along trying to help us out here. And I told him that I was going to have to take that off. I said, you know, Dad, you know, we're social media. You know, people are just loving what we got going on. And, you know, I'm going to put it back on the car somewhere, but I'm going to have to take it off. And I think I broke his heart. You know, like I think I just devastated him. And after this weekend and after a lot of thought and whole nine yards, man, I'll just never, ever, that race car, that's it for that race car. And so we're just going to have to make Fast and Fincham revolve around it. There's just so many memories right there with my father and myself. And that's just that's the logo for that car. And so somehow or another, we're just going to bring Fast and Fincham and everything that we involve from here on out around that. It's just crazy.
Perfect, man. I love it. Yeah, that's what I always say, you know, with an old door car at some point that it rolled off an assembly line somewhere just has more of a story. There's just more something to it. At some point, somebody decided to cut it up and turn it into a race car. That's what I think some, you know, dragster guys, I love you, but this the door cars have that one up on you right there. We're always going to have there's a little more to it. So I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Rodney. I appreciate it.
Well, like I say, there's so many memories. And like you say, people do relate. I'm like you. I love I love bracket racing in general, you know, so dragsters, go-karts, roadsters, you know, it doesn't matter to me, but people relate to cars because of our early ages, you know, even our parents and the whole nine yards, like the 60s is the year. I love all the 60s, mm-hmm. you know, the Novas, the Falcons, the Mustangs, you know, Corollas, if they had one, you know, the 60s is the bomb. For me, you know, and then obviously the next generation, it's, you know, it could be the 80s, you know, but yes, people relate to cars. It's the reason I love foot brake racing so much. It's because 99% it's door cars, you know what I'm saying? Something mm-hmm. you relate to from back in the day. But shoot, give me 500 dragsters and put me in the middle of them, son, and I'm just as happy.
Yeah, I can totally relate, buddy, to your dad being heartbroken, taking the name off of it, because I got passed down a car just as well as you did, and I feel like if I ever took the name off my race car, my dad probably have a stroke, fall over, probably.
Well, he didn't tell me I couldn't do it, but I believe he was going to make sure I didn't do it. So I'm glad we come to the same agreement, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, how could you take something off that has so much meaning? So we'll just have to revolve around it. It's from my childhood up. It's just, we'll just have to revolve around it. It's just the way it is.
There's a right way to do it, and then there's your dad's way. Go ahead.
That's right.
Same path.
Exactly. And no matter what, obviously he taught me everything I know, and anytime I messed up, he had nothing to do with it.
Absolutely. So you mentioned earlier about Joey traveling the world with you, and I can see on Motor Mania, that guy is on the chip from the time that you are three cars back until you turn on a wind light. And that's got to be somebody that's always good to have in your corner. And I feel like if you're down about anything, you can't be down long before Joey picks you back up.
You know, Joey is a one of a kind. I've been friends with him ever since I've ever drove a race car. Like, that's how I met him. I mean, he's from my local town, but I met him back in when I was 18, you know, when I had the mullet and the stuff going on, you know what I mean? Higher about halfway down my back. And he is just truly one of a kind. I wouldn't trade him for anything. Anybody that knows him, you know, I know that Luke Bogacki had said that I wear out my emotions on my sleeve. And man, oh man, like, people just think I'm putting on a show. You know, we need the video camera on him. He's just such a, if you're winning, you're the best. And if you don't win, he'll let you know it. His saying is he only helps winners. And so, you know, we had went to Memphis earlier this year for the Dream Team Challenge. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a team, we done really well. I was teamed up with Josh Green and Josh Lynch and Taylor Bowling and myself and Crutcher down there. Had a really good team. We got down to three, and I didn't win us not one round. I did win one. We got the bye run the second round. I won that one. And but I had turned it red every single round. I just could not get it green. And so I didn't really help the team. I was just on a good team. And Joey had called me everything but a nice fella. I mean, he really had. They were just amazed at how what all he had called me. You know what I mean? They said, "You sure you like him?" He said, "Not today." So, he's definitely the guy that's going to not let you settle for losing. He's just going to really ride you. But man, when I can turn them wind lights on, there's no happier person than that man right there. Like, I could hear him crowing over the crowd on Motor Mania when I went back and watched it. He was just he's so much a part of what I've got going on, and I just wouldn't trade it for nothing. We call him Rooster, and Joey Cogdell's his name, and like I say, I just wouldn't trade him for nothing. He's just one of a kind, no doubt.
Well, Jake, I think he's pretty much answered about all I got. You got anything else?
Oh, I'm not even anywhere near done.
Let's
yet
go for it. Have at it.
All right. So I thought of this just a minute ago whenever you told me that you've came up with a lot of stuff laying in the backseat of that truck. Do you think there's anything to an enclosed trailer in a motorhome or a toter home, a stacker, whatnot? They got to make you soft if you bought one of them.
No, I tell you what, we laugh about that too. I told that Joey just last night on the way home, you know, we were talking about, you know, people us sleeping in the truck after we had won that race, you know, and the people's like, "Man, are you really that tight?" You know, and it don't have anything to do with being tight. You know what I mean? Like, we went to Hooters and blowed $100, you know, we did eat well. So, it's if they gave me one, I wouldn't be able to afford to operate it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, I've raced on a low budget all my life. You know, when we win, we splurge. You know, we laugh about it so much. You know, my little man, I mean, he's 9 years old, you know, and Jake was the same way when he was young. If we didn't win, we eat those bologna sandwiches on the way home. You know what I mean? But if we win, they're like, "We get to stop at the Cracker Barrel."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, we've just operated on a low budget all our lives. So we're just so used to it, we don't pay it any attention. You know what I mean? Now, you know, if we had that enclosed trailer and we had that motorhome, could we be more comfortable? Oh, yeah, obviously. You know what I mean? And would it change who we are? No, it wouldn't. You know, the grass roots were made with my dad. And, you know, and obviously, you know, just the passion of the sport, just spending every dime you've got and not considerably saying, you know, spending it to go fast or nothing. Obviously, you know, I've been the slowest car in the field the last three times I've been to the racetrack, I think. And, you know, but it's a challenge to me to get to the racetrack every week. You know what I mean? Like, we pull in the gate and people get tickled at us because I'm all pumped up and excited, you know, and they're like, you know, boy, you're awful excited. And I'm like, well, you know, we've already won, and the rest of these people still trying to win. She said, well, how do you figure? I said, well, we got here, and this truck was running. You know what I mean? We've won already. The rest of them still trying to win, you know what I mean? So we've raced with that mentality so long, it just comes, it's just second nature to us. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. And then I'm not saying the people that buy motorhomes and trailers like that, that they're soft. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just wondering if that was your outlook on it. If you thought, you know, hey, you know, if I act like I'm spoiled, I'll lay off a little bit and be 30 instead of 10, you know.
Well, and I'm glad you said that too, because I'm like you. You know what I mean, you know, just because Tom over here's got a toter home and a stacker and a whole nine yards, you know, does that make him feel like he's a better racer than me? No, it doesn't. Obviously, it's just the comforts of home. You know what I mean? It's what you accomplish in life, what you push for. You know what I mean? And I wish next week I had one. You know what I mean? So no, I don't ever look at it that way. Some of my best friends in the world have stackers and toters and a whole nine yards, and when I sit beside of them with my pickup truck with a tarp thrown over the top of it, they don't think no less of me, and I don't think any less of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a family deal, and I really think that's what my live videos are about. I really think that's the biggest thing that I bring to the sport, is that I try to show sportsmanship, and that, you know, we can lose and still be happy for the guy that just beat us. You know what I mean? Or, you know, when I turn that wind light on, like, man, my emotions goes nuts, you know, and I get the big Ric Flair woo in there, the big fist pump, you know. And then, but on the other side of that, you know, I just broke somebody's dream. You know what I mean? Like, they were trying to win too, you know, and they might have needed the money worse than I do. You know, so, you know, I look at both sides of that. Like, I just made a dream come true, but somebody's dream just stopped. So I try to look at it in all angles. You know what I mean? You know, when I win, I'm going to do it graciously. And when you beat me, I'm gonna give you props up for it. And so through those videos, I hope that's what I can show the younger generation. You know, us old farts are setting our ways in the whole nine yards, and we may not ever change what we think. But if I can bring that little bit of sportsmanship back to racing, that's just another thing that humbles me.
Yeah, absolutely. My next question, did I see you piloting a swing set cut up into a form of a dragster?
Yes, you did.
Oh, man. Talk about breaking the internet. What was that all about?
Now, you're talking about me driving the dragster?
Yes, sir.
I have known a fella named David Collins throughout my racing career, and him and his wife Connie Collins, and we had talked about all our lives, you know, about going out and racing and doing and blah blah blah, and you know, our dreams, you know what I mean? And lord and behold, here we are some 28 years later, and he gave me the opportunity. We got to talking about it, and obviously he's got a rail and he's got a Vega, and we talked about this stuff all our lives, and he gave me the opportunity. And so the first time I had ever driven a dragster in competition was at Clay City, up at Mountain Park Dragway, Scotty Richardson and their bunch up there. And I can't say enough about what Scotty Richardson's done for Mountain Park Dragway up there, but that's another story in itself. But yeah, Scotty Richardson and the crew up there doing a fine job. And anyway, we take that thing up there. First time I've ever driven it in competition. The second race of that day, it was a second chance race. We had gotten beat in the first one, but I take that thing to the finals. I run a great friend of mine, Benny Combs, and I know, and a split and quit finally. It's getting pretty cool. And that just got it fired off. I mean, he gave me the opportunity to get in that thing. Obviously, it was different. You know, I went from running 90 mile an hour to 133. So needless to say, you know, that was an experience in itself, you know, and everybody's like, man, when you gonna make a video? When you gonna make a video? I'm like, man, I'm just trying to get this thing A to B. You know what I mean? You ain't gonna like this video. You know what I mean? What am I gonna say? It's green. I won. You know, but yes, man, that I can't thank David and Connie Collins enough for believing in me, you know, making dreams come true and helping Armed Forces Racing and Fast and Fincham get off the ground. Like, he's given me an opportunity this year. And as we can see, it's paying off. You know, we've got people like FTI and Troy Williams and the bunch trying to help us a little bit. And we just, you know, they've got the absolute perfect product, you know, Pro One Safety. You know, he's the first one that wanted to help us out, Armed Forces Racing and stuff. He jumped on board with us. You know, the list just goes on and on. You know, we've been running these Mickey Thompson tires since the second half of the season, and I've won some of the biggest races I've ever won in my life with them. Velocity carburetors, you know, they've come aboard. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Cook's Auto, Shane Cook, and the bunch. I just can't say enough for the people that's helping us. It's what's got us to where we're at, and we just can't say enough about them. And but driving that dragster, I hope we've got a lot more of that to come, and for 2019. So who knows what stage you could see us on, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that people want you to make a video at Mountain Park in Clay City. They've never tried to make that first turn off in a dragster, because especially if you've never driven one before, you don't want to miss.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Be down there swimming with a crocodile somewhere down in there.
Exactly. So, but like I say, you know, with the help of Collins Truck and David and Connie, Fast and Fincham is where it is, and we just can't wait to see what the future's got for us. We hope that 2019's even bigger than 2018. We're looking forward to it.
And I know you've been on the world tour, you know, in your 28 years of racing. What's the best race you have ever been to? And it don't have to be a win. It don't have to be anything sentimental wise, but what races were the most fun to you? You know, I don't want to say older generation, because I'm just probably a little bit too young, but you know, everybody wants to talk about the B&M series and all that good stuff. And you grew up you started racing in a time where it really just took off like wildfire.
Yeah. I can go back to the B&M days, George Howard. We can't say enough about George Howard. George Howard put big bracket money races in business. He just did. He done so much for the sport of drag racing. And so obviously I ran back in, you know, those days, the B&M series where Randall Roop was the man, you know, and the list goes on and on. That's where everybody got their start, was the B&Ms. And then the Carolina Coalitions came along. That's where I really started making a name for myself a little bit. I jumped up there in the Carolina Coalition. And, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I thought I knew how to drive a race car. But those old boys up in the Carolinas taught me a lot of lessons about how to drive a finish line, man. They'd drop you on your head. You know, you ain't never seen a bailer up till you see a Michael Spall set one down, son, I'm telling you. So, you know, I got a lot of good memories with that Carolina Coalition and races and blah, blah, blah. So I go all the way back into that, up into Kentucky, all of the London and the Mountain Park Dragway with all their stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, hats off to Britt Cummings and the crew for the team challenge down there at Memphis. That is the most fun that I have ever had at any drag race. Like I say, the team challenge, you know, I was on a great team. We get down to three. I do redeem myself a little bit on Sunday and Monday, getting down to six or so and blah, blah, blah. But I have never had so much fun as I did than the Great American team challenge at Britt Cummings race down in Memphis earlier this year. The atmosphere, you know, at the World Foot Brake Challenge, Jared Pennington and Steve Stotts have just made that race, no matter what. It's just the one you want to win. It's our Super Bowl for foot brakers, seems like. And yeah, they do such a great job with it. And obviously this year I finally get my first check running Jake in the finals. You know, it was just the biggest memory I'll ever have in my life. And then you go back to Loose Rocker, you know, me winning my biggest race ever, you know what I mean? And that'll stand heavy, you know, big in my biggest moments. But I've never had as much fun as I did at Britt Cummins' race down there in Memphis earlier this season. I can't wait to go back and do that team challenge deal again, no matter how we have to do it. But bar none, that's it. That's the one.
Yep, I have to agree. I had a good time at that race. So I had a team. We ended up getting beat in the first round. But, man, when I staged up for that first round, we were down 2-1. And man, that just the pressure fell on me, and I thought, man, this is pretty cool. If I can get us back to where we can possibly win this round. And when that wind light came on, that was one of the best feelings I've had, probably one of the best feelings I had racing at least all year in a while. I can't wait to go back for that one next year. I think that's gonna gain some momentum and get bigger, hopefully.
Bar none. I cannot wait to go back to that race. And if I can help that race on Fast and Finch, or any bit at all, I will. I can't wait to go back. It's one of those that's going to be marked on the calendar, and anybody that wants to be involved with Fast and Fincham, get your team ready, son. We're coming, and we can't wait. It was the absolute most fun we've ever had.
Yeah, so that kind of brings us to a little bit of a lighter side. So we all know that Jake Ball don't suck, right? He's a pretty darn good foot breaker for 2 years in. He's got a pretty bad hot rod. What do you think about old dad going to Piedmont and chasing 20 grand and Jake Ball's chasing women down at Old Cherokee?
Well, I tell you what.
Where did he get that from?
I don't know if he gets that from his mama or from his dad, but we couldn't be more proud of him. Here he is in his second year of college. You know, he's away from home quite a bit. And to this point, you know, we just couldn't ask for a better kid, you know. And in this time of day, you know, that's hard to say. You know, there's just so much out there that we need to pray for, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And so as a parent, you know, I couldn't be more happy. And but on the other hand of that, he's got a good head on his shoulders. I talked to him a little bit about it. You know, and he's like, shoot, he said, you know, he needs his best shot to make a dollar. You know, his luck hadn't been running real well. So he chose to stay home. He had an opportunity to go, but he chose to stay home and see if he couldn't make a paycheck. You know what I mean? And he knew his odds was a little better here around home. Versus going out there and trying to beat the best in the country, just over and over and over. So it ended up working out for him. He got runner up over there yesterday to Mr. Josh Epperson, which is another one of those. It's just a bad man dropping that button on the bottom. Scotty Richardson gave him a little bit of good advice here back in the summer. You know, we were bragging on him a little bit about him being at the crossroads, you know, and obviously he's made good decisions up to this point. But Scotty told him that women was in the equation now, and now he's had his biggest test ever. So he has met this young lady that we feel highly of, Bristol Mosley, and they seem to be hitting it off very well. And I think he took her slot car racing this weekend, and I think she beat up on him all weekend. And I think
maybe she cracked
won one and runnered up and won and won every light pot she was in. So maybe they'll make a great couple. They got a lot in common. And we just couldn't be more proud of him. And for him to stay home with her and race here, I could think of worse things he could be doing. So we're just awful proud of him. And we just can't wait to see what the future brings. We know who the best driver is that we have, and it's not me, but I'm the best cameraman we got. So so with that being said, we really just are so proud of him and the accomplishments that he's that he's had so far. And we just can't say enough about Shane Cook. You know, he owns the race car that he drives, Cook's Auto, and he takes really, really good care of Jake. It makes sure that race car's got everything in it that it needs. And we just can't thank Shane Cook and Cook's Auto for what he does. And like you say, Jake, I just can't wait to see what he accomplishes in life. You know, he takes those losses a little tougher than I do, or I won't say he takes them tougher. He shows them a little more on the outside. And but I think that's what makes him who he is. He just hates to fail. And so I think with that, that's what makes him a better racer, and I couldn't be more proud of him.
Yep, you said he didn't want to go. You said he racing the best in the country, and Hot Rod, you were that Friday night, and we're proud of you, and we were pulling for you. Zach and I were both down at Huntsville, and we got there Saturday, and I said, man, we can't have anybody on but Hot Rod this week. You know, that's our decision, and we were both on the same page before we even talked about it. So
yeah, I walked over and I said, we pretty much have to have Fincham on this week, and Jake said, yeah, I already called him, I already talked to him. I said, well, there we go. Great decision.
Well, it humbles me, and it means the world to me. You know, my goal is to grow Fast and Fincham as big as we can get it, and the biggest goal is to find a way to give back to people like Armed Forces Racing, to FTI, Pro One, David and Connie Collins, everybody that helps us. You know, I want to help you guys because I think you know you're bringing great things back to the sport. Jed and Luke and everybody that brings something back to bracket racing, I want to be a part of, because that's life to me. And I believe we've found a way to give back. So, and I can't say enough about what you guys have accomplished and what you're doing for the sport. I'm just as humbled and feel just as much it makes me feel good that you would have me on the show. I don't have all the right words for it, but it humbles me and it's my pleasure.
Zach, every episode, Zach asks you what your race day meal is. Actually, what's your go-to race day meal?
Okay, you want to know what I want to eat.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. What fuels you to win the race?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we've sort of got hooked on peanut butter and jelly. we're peanut butter and jelly eating machines, son. I'm going to tell you right now, it's easy, it's filling, and my little boy loves it. So we've been just stocking up on the PB&J. I guess that's the most eat meal in the Fincham pit. So I guess if you want to win, you need to be eating peanut butter and jelly.
Man, that's what I'm missing. That's it.
That's what it is.
So my last question before we get starting to wrap this thing up. Give me one round out of your whole racing career that you ain't forgotten, you can't forget. Give me one that stuck with you, whether you should have done this or you're happy you did that. Give me one round that still haunts you or that you still think about, you know, when you go to bed at night.
Wow. So many of those in 28 years, but I'm going to tell you right now, when Jake Ball set that Nova down at the finish line at the World Foot Brake Challenge to get himself behind right there, I'm just never, ever going to forget that, because that was set up a month before that. I had ran him in the finals down at Middle Tennessee for the first time ever, and he played me like a puppet. And I watched his wind light come on, and I told myself before I'd even got off the racetrack, the next time I run him, I'll have a plan, and I'm pretty sure it'll work. And it did. I got him caught up in the run there just a little bit, and sort of coaxed him into making one of the few mistakes he'll ever make at the finish line. And it just happened to be on the big stage, and I'm just never, ever going to forget it, the feeling that I had, obviously with victory, but on the other side of it, that I had just beat my son, and I had taught him just a little bit of a lesson right there, maybe something that'll help him somewhere down the road. And I just wouldn't trade that moment for anything in the world. So that one's going to stick out, I guess, when they put flyers over me.
So Hot Rod threw out a little late drop, did he?
Well, like I say, I had slipped the tires right there. I had overwound that thing for everything it's worth. I had done drug off everything. I mean, 9 times out of 10 in the situation that me and him were in, I was going to have to drop out, because he had done caught me, and he knew I was fixing to drop, and he anticipated it. But I had done worked off what I thought, and when he dropped that thing, I was supposed to have to drop, but I had drug it off to be dead zero. So the racing gods was just on my side.
Absolutely. So we're going to close this thing up, but I talked to you a little bit earlier. You know, we all heard the clutch pedal story about, I think it was what you told with Luke and Jed, I think, wasn't it? Something about the truck broke down on the way. And give us another story. I know you said you got plenty of them. Let's hear something on the lighter side of things.
Well, I tell you what, there's so many of those too. Like, you know, when Jared Pennington and them had me on the show, you know, they had me to pick one out. And obviously we don't have a long time and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how do you pick out one, you know, of all this I've got? But they all mean so much, the memories and the whole nine yards. I'm going to go back to a story, and it really sticks out to me because it sort of reminds me of the win that I had this weekend, Mr. Steve Stotts. We were at Piedmont back in the day on the Thanksgiving race, and he was in that Cavalier. And Jared Pennington and all, everybody that's anybody's there, you know, I mean, we're talking 10 or 12 years ago, you know, and they're paying $20,000 to win, you know, that was like winning a million. And Stotts had drove all the way from Mississippi up there in that streetcar that he had, and the Cavalier. And long story short, he's down to about 16 or so. And obviously, I'd gotten beat by the second round. I mean, I've had plenty of time to socialize. So I'm up in the tower, and they're sort of giggling a little bit about every time he pulls around, you know, that they're just astonished that he's still in with this crowd, you know, and nobody knew him. And I'm like, man, I said, I'll tell you what, this old boy didn't drive all the way from Mississippi, you know, if he didn't think he couldn't win, you know. Obviously, I'd raced with him down in the B&Ms and this, that, and the other, and down, several times, and I knew who he was, you know. I'd watched him win many races. And so, Lord and behold, he gets down and he wins this whole 20 grand, you know, and we just go nuts, you know. He's in this slowest car, you know, and blah, blah, and we go nuts, and we're all celebrating, you know. So, Jared Pennington and I don't know how many of us piles in that Cavalier down there, and there ain't nowhere for Stotts to get, you know. We're going to go take a picture. So there's nowhere for him to get, so he just jumps up on the top of the car and grabs the sides, and he's going to ride down on top of the car. So when Jared Pennington shuts the door, he shuts his fingers up in the door, and he don't know it. So he takes off down the staging lanes, and Stotts is on top of the car, a hollering Bloody Mary, you know what I mean? Well, we think he's just happy because he's won, you know what I mean? So we drive all the way down the staging lanes to get her picture took with his fingers shut up in the door, you know what I mean? Him just a hollering Bloody Mary. So we've laughed about that forever, you know what I mean? And just so many memories back in the day with so many great people. It's just hard to pick one or two, but that just stands out to me. Every time I want to tell one in life, I just can't forget him hollering on top of that car, you know. We just started hooping and hollering with him because we thought he was a celebrating. We had his fingers bent in four different directions.
I had to turn my mic off. I'm about crying over here. That's pretty good. Oh, man. Win a 20 grand or break your hand all in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And like I say, we was just hooping and hollering and going on, you know. We just thought it's the best thing ever, you know. But shoot, he was hollering Bloody Mary off that car.
That's great. Great story, Rodney.
We also want to thank Brad Plurd and Lucas Oles for jumping on board with us here. You know, we just got all these great people that have interest in what we're doing, and they're jumping on board trying to help Fast and Finchem so that we can help others. And DJ's Performance over in Marstown area, you know, obviously they help us out as much as they can. And Steve Foley up there in the Carolinas, they always get us hooked up with Warren Engines and stuff up there. We can't say enough about Steve Foley and Warren Engines and the bunch. So we just appreciate everybody that helps us. And without them, we wouldn't be able to run around and give the show like we do, you know. So we just want to give props out for all those people.
Hot Rod, I'm not sure if Ryder was more excited when you won or Steve Foley.
For sure. Steve and I talked about it after it was all said and done. Obviously, he wasn't there the day of when I won it. He hadn't got there yet, so he didn't get to enjoy it with me. But I've been on the other side of that with him winning those big races and me rooting him on. And, man, it's just, you know, it's electric that way also. But he had never really felt that with one of his best friends. And so I was glad to get to give that to him. He was as excited as I was, no doubt. I mean, he just really was.
I think he all but wet down his leg, if I remember. I saw the video.
Yeah, pretty much. They were at his house watching it on the big screen. And when I won, he jumped up and accidentally hit his little man and knocked him down. And by the time he reached and grabbed him and picked him up, it sort of startled him for a minute, but then he knew something good had happened. So he went to shaking his fist, little Langdon did, and went to going, woo, you know. So he almost killed him, but he was awful excited for us too, you know. So, yeah, he was pacing the floors, and his father-in-law was trying to get him to sit down and blah, blah. And he said, man, I can't sit down. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this is the finals, you know. And so, yeah, he definitely was having as much emotion about it as I was, and it just means the world to me.
Well, congratulations on giving Foley's kid his first concussion.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I could be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I tell you what, that's another one that my dad, boy, I guess he could kill me. You know, I like to race so much that I never really obligate. I'm a weather kind of guy. You know, if it looks like it's raining in Tennessee, I'm going to North Carolina or Kentucky or Alabama or Memphis or Alaska, if that's the case. But in 2019, we're going to settle, we're going to sit down and we're going to obligate to, something about once a month. And, you know, obviously we're going to try to get, something going on in, sponsorships and this, and that, and the other. That way we can dedicate to a certain spot. We'll know where we're going. That way Fast and Fincham followers can be there if they want. And, you know, just get people on board and, you know, give a heads up where we're going at least once a month or maybe something in that nature. So we got a lot to work on for 2019, and there's going to be a lot of information coming, and there's going to be spots available. You know, we need, you know, we're going to be looking for corporate sponsors for certain weekends and or partners, however you want to look at it, you know, and we're going to make that weekend about them. You know, through the videos and this and that and the other. And so we're going to give back somehow. And then in return with that, you know, we're going to raise money for armedforcesracing.org somehow and help our veterans out. So that's our goal, is to help Armed Forces Racing grow. And by, you know, getting that help and getting us to these events and the whole nine yards, we're just going to try to give back in all directions.
Yep. There you go.
You know, I think we kept you long enough. It certainly has been a pleasure having you on Dialed In. We certainly appreciate it. Wish you all the success upcoming in the world next year and you know, and everything that you do. And we'll certainly be following Fast and Fincham. All of our listeners, go to the Fast and Fincham Facebook page and look Rodney up and like it, because you're missing out. It is it's must-see TV for sure. So thanks again, and good luck, buddy.
Well, man, we appreciate all the kind words, and we appreciate all the support for Fast and Fincham, you know, and armedforcesracing.org, and all that helps us with FTI and Inky Thompson and Pro One and Velocity Race Carb. So we're humbled. We appreciate what you do, and we can't thank you enough for having us on the show.
All right, Rod, it's been great, buddy, and hopefully we ain't heard the last of you on Dialed In. We'll talk about that later on, but congratulations on one heck of a year, and let alone the last 6 weeks, man. It's been a ride, and it's been fun to watch, and we'll see you around, buddy.
Well, buddy, we look forward to bringing just whatever's to come, win or lose. We're going to bring it, and we just appreciate everything.
All right, go put that boy to bed, would you?
All right, we'll do it, buddy.
See you, Hot Rod.
All right, thank you.
See ya.
So, Zach, that brings us to our In Motion Solutions final round discussion. And this is one that I think you and I talked about before we made the decision to drive to Huntsville. I'm not going to say it's anything of a track issue as much as it is a racer decision issue. Big Jed and I were talking in the staging lines. I think you were standing there that, you know, we're humans. And if you put us in the water box of a racetrack, we're going to go down it, whether it's iced over, snowing, raining, because, you know, our cars are work. You know, we work on our race cars. They work. They go down any racetrack in the world. At what point is crashing a race car worth running around?
Yeah, it's not. I think that's something that, you know, heck, if you're starting to realize that at 25, you're miles ahead of me, because I think I'm just starting to realize that.
Hey,
possibly
whoa, whoa,
at 35.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on a minute.
Hold on.
I am 24 for six
oh,
more
sorry.
Days. Six more
days.
Days.
I was close. Man, just a baby. So, yeah. Yeah, I feel like if you're realizing that now, you're probably miles ahead of me. For years, though, we went to Bowling Green and we raced, and it was 30 degrees outside, and we had never had any problems. So I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know exactly what all has changed, you know. And last year when we were down there, that was the second, I can honestly say, and I'm not trying to bash anything, I'm just saying I can honestly say that's the second time I've ever been scared in a race car was because I was on the top end of the track and I didn't know what way the car was going to go. You know, it was sliding all over the place and I had to get out of it and get back in it. And, you know, it was scary to say the least. Very, very white knuckle. You know, I stopped when I got my ticket and I told the ET shack, the EMTs, I said, you know, you might want to make sure the ambulance is warm. And I'm not trying to scare you, but somebody's going to hit the wall. And it's just from the experience of doing this long enough, I know that that's about to happen. You know, and I think you're right. I mean, it's just, you know, there comes a point where when we really want to keep racing and, you know, I think as a racer, obviously we want to win and we want to compete and we hate to say that the off season is here, but, you know, I think there comes a point where when the weather turns to being cold, especially when it gets cold, you know, because we all know in November it can be 60 degrees or upper 50s and the sun's out during the day and you're in short sleeves and you're thinking, man, what a beautiful day. And it's just gorgeous. But at 4:30, the sun goes down, you know, and when the sun goes down, it gets cold in a hurry. And there's, you know, just like Jed said, that when it's the dew point, you know, Jed made the announcement, you know, for those of you that weren't at Huntsville, obviously, let me describe a little bit. He went over, you know, that's what he was saying over the PA as they were canceling the race on the rest of the race on Saturday, you know, is that it's a lot to do with the dew point. And when the moisture gets on the track and it's cold, there's no amount of track prep that's going to make it better. And that's true. You know, I think that, I think you're right. I think, maybe a little bit smarter play is to just maybe put the race cars up a hair earlier. And if races go on Thanksgiving, you know, maybe they need to make sure that they are done when the sun's still out.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that kind of goes back to what I was telling you when I was racing Rusty, that I feel like my only chance to win the round would be dial somewhat near him and be under the understanding that if anything feels a little bit more out of shape than normal, then it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's not worth $15,000 for me to wad up a $30,000 race car.
Right.
And that's just the way that you might win that round, but what are you going to do when the next round comes around and you got to run a 480 car? You know, you're go down mm-hmm. the finish line and wait on them, I guess. I'm not really sure, but it's just, there's a lot of, ignorance isn't the word for it, but it's a lot of, well, that's not going to happen to me. I'm mm-hmm. better than that. And you know, you have a 3,000 pound animal that tries to break traction every chance you give it. There's nothing that's going to stop it. So I don't know. I don't think that not having a turkey race is the decision, but I think the way that turkey races are being ran and whatnot, you have to give people a time run. I understand that. You can only start on the track so early in the morning. I understand that. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but hopefully there is one that saves not only race cars, but people from getting hurt. You know, I know a couple of them crashed at Bowling Green, and that's all I really heard. And I don't, it's not a problem with Bowling Green. I feel like it's more of a racer decision. So,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the answer is, and I'm just spitballing here off the top of my head, but you know, as I kind of alluded, as I was talking about earlier about getting the race, you know, done. Well, I think maybe on Thanksgiving or in any cold weather race for that matter, there needs to be a little more, emphasis put on getting the race started earlier. Time trials at that point in the year, I don't feel like are important. There are buybacks. You know, I would not have a problem personally. And I think if you asked a lot of other racers, they would feel the same way. I'm sure some wouldn't because that's, and I completely understand, but I would have no problem pulling in the gate, paying my entry fee, putting a dial-in on the car and going up for first round, especially in a buyback, you know, a first or second round buyback situation. I have no problem with that. And, you know, and then that way the race can get rolling earlier in the day and start getting the rounds cut down to where, you know, maybe if, okay, the sun's starting to set at the end of the day or it's going down, but you know, at that point it's at a manageable point, or maybe at that point, you know, you got 10 cars left or whatever you got left. Maybe you can work that in the next day as you're running the other race, you know, or something like that. So just to try to offer up, not just say, well, it's just, you know, we can't do it. Let's try to offer up a little bit of a solution. I think that may be a good direction to go.
Right. And you know, depending on how well you want your race to go over, there are people that specialize in traction, you know, and they're, you know, total venue concepts, and guys like Kurt Johnson mm-hmm. and Tyler Crosno is really, really good at making something hook in cold weather. Jimmy Bradshaw and Sticky Mafia. If you want to have a successful Thanksgiving event, dig into the wallet just a little bit. You know, and if you're on the fence about going, say, oh, the tracks can be cold, the tracks can be bad, and you put on your flyer that Kurt Johnson or Jimmy Bradshaw is going to be there with their equipment and their knowledge and their experience, that's gonna defer a few people from going anywhere else. I would feel a lot better about any decision going anywhere, knowing that the guys that can make a radial car go down in 32 degree weather, mm-hmm. make a bracket car hook for sure. But I don't know that it's an affordable price. I don't even know what it costs, but I know that it's worth every bit of peace of mind to know that, hey, you know, we as a track hired this company to come in and take care of this. So if anything goes wrong, yes, it's our racetrack. We hired professional. There's nothing more we can do to offer a safe racing surface other than what we have done.
Yep. Well, all right. I think we've came to the end of another great episode of Dialed In. I want to thank everybody for sticking with us, for listening to us, and I really, really appreciate that. All the likes and shares we're getting on Facebook. You know, we're going to do our best to bring you a good episode every week of the off season as well. So stick with us, and there's going to be more good stuff to come. Thank you to Law Chevrolet again. Thank you to Emotion Solutions. And thank you again to our guest, Rodney Fincham. What a great guy. You know, his humbleness and, you know, the sportsmanship just comes through, and he's very, very gracious. And it was just a great, great guy to talk to. We really appreciate it. And, you know, wish him all the best.
Yep, absolutely. That's it. Episode number 13. Lucky 13, Zach. We'll see everybody in the staging lanes.